Book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. It's a joy to be here. I'm going to look you over a little bit. Y'all looking me over, I don't know. I don't know most of you. A few faces around I know, but some of you are wondering if I can preach. And I'm wondering if you can take it. I ain't got but one gear and it's wide open. So I'm going to preach fast and you listen fast and I'll be done quick. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and verse 1, the Bible said, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood all these other people." "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Verse 1, the latter part, the Bible said, "They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book." That's what I want to preach about for just a few minutes. Bring the book. Israel had been in bondage for a long time. God had sent them into captivity because of their disobedience. And now the 70 years are up. And God spake to Nehemiah to go back to rebuild the wall. And there was another man there by the name of Ezra. God had sent him back to see to it that the temple was rebuilt. The book had not been read out of and in a long time. And they sent and said, "Bring the book." And the Bible said that from the book they read from morning till midday. And they stood, the Bible said, as he read. And I love this book. Amen. This old KJV. This is a Bible conference. Amen. I love the Word of God. David said, "It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I love to read the Word of God over and over. It never gets outdated. It never gets stale. Amen. It's always fresh and up to date. This book will do more for you than the newspaper. Amen. A lot of folks won't leave the house until they've read the newspaper to see what their horoscope is, or to try to find out how it's going to be with them. Well, I can tell you how it's going to be with you by reading the Word of God. Amen. Job said, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Amen. That'll fit everybody. I've read it over and over. I tell you, this is a precious book. When I'm up, it puts me down. When I'm down, it picks me up. When I'm in, it sends me out. And when I'm out, it brings me in. When I'm hungry, it feeds me. Amen. And when I'm thirsty, it gives me drink. Amen. It puts fire in my bones. And it puts faith in my heart. And gives me a little foretaste of glory, thank God. I love the book. Amen. Bring the book and let's read the book. I want to give you three thoughts about that and I'll sit down. First, bring the book and let's read about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is His book. From Genesis to Revelation, brother, this is His story. You like history? This is His story. You like a hymn book? This is His book. His book, a book about Him, thank God. And brother, we can read this book and find out some things about Him. Let's read about how He tamed the wild man over there in the book of Mark chapter 5. The Bible tells about an old man that was full of the devil, possessed. He was no doubt he was a drunkard and a dope addict, and no doubt he was was an abuser. No doubt he was just a wicked man, brother, like some of us were before we got born again. Amen. But this old boy, the Bible said they tried to tame him, but they couldn't bind him with fetters. He would just break them in two. And he lived up in the cemetery, lived among the tombs, the Bible said. That's a picture of the world. That's a picture of wherever man lives, that's lost without God, dead and in trespasses and in sin. And he lived among the tombs, a vulgar man, ran around without any clothes on. I can see the little mothers as they get their children up during the day. They say, now you go out and play, but stay away from that cemetery. There's a wild man lives up there. And that old wild man would scream and holler and carry on. And the townspeople try to do something with him, but they never could. But one day, thank God, there's a boat dock down there, and mercy walked down off of the gangplank. And the Bible said that he fell at his feet. And the Bible said he tamed that wild man. And the townspeople came and found a man seating at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. Say, reckon what happened? Well, in the preceding chapter, Mark chapter 4, the Lord and the disciples are out there on the sea, and there's a storm going. I mean, the winds are blowing and the waves are dashing high. And then I just got a feeling, Brother Jim, that old wild man was up there in a tomb, peeping over a tombstone, watching all that going on out there on the ocean. And all of a sudden, a man steps to the helm of that ship and sticks his hands out like this and says, peace, be still. And the ocean lays down. Brother, the sea just sort of laps up against the side of the boat a little bit. And brother, I believe there's a hope registered in the heart of that old maniac. And he said in his heart, if he can tame that ocean and that storm, he can tame the beast that rages in my heart. Amen. And 29 years ago at an altar of prayer, brother, I got more than religion. Amen. I got born of the Spirit of God. And brother, he tamed that wild man, give me a new desire, made a new creature out of me. Amen. Bring the book. And while I'm passing, hey, some of you ain't always look like you look tonight. You ain't always smell like you smell tonight. Amen. Bless God, he got you out of some pretty rough places too. Thank God he tamed that old wild man. He tamed me many years ago. Look, bring the book and let's read about the one who tamed the wild man. Bring the book. Let's read about the one who touched the funeral briar. Just laid his hand on that funeral briar. You know, he messed up every funeral he ever went to. Nobody could stay dead where he was. Amen. Because he's the life. Amen. And the Bible said they were carrying that boy out there to bury him. The grave had already been dug. Listen, the funeral home director was already done with his job. And they started up through there with that body. I can see a little mother with a black shawl around her shoulders, a little bouquet of flowers in her hand, weeping as she goes toward the cemetery with her only son. But out of the crowd, thank God, stepped a man and laid his hand on that coffin. And the Bible said that boy got up and the Lord delivered him unto his mother, the Bible said. I'll tell you why the Lord delivered him unto his mother. They probably wasn't nobody else around. I'll guarantee you, Brother Jim, if I'm ever conducting a funeral and he gets up, somebody else will have to deliver him to me. I'll be gone. Amen. I like to use my imagination. When I was a boy, I was raised in the Appalachian Mountains, Western North Carolina, didn't have many toys to play with. We made up things all the time. I like to use my imagination a lot. I can imagine this old boy, these boys that was taking him up there to bury him. I don't even know if they had funeral homes back in them days. But can you imagine, here's a little old funeral director sitting down there at the funeral home counting his money. and he looks out the window, and here comes a chariot back. I mean, that hearse that he had sent that boy toward the cemetery, here it comes. The horses are galloping at full speed. The coffins are bouncing about this high off of the coffin, off of the chariot. And those boys are as white as this handkerchief. And they jump off the chariot and said, "Dad, you ain't going to believe this." I said, "You ought to see what happened up there." And he said, "What happened? What did you do with the body? Did you just throw him in the ground? What'd you do with him?" And he said, "Daddy, there was a man stepped out of the crowd and just laid his hand on the funeral briar and said he got up, amen. And he went home with his mother 29 years ago. Listen, everybody'd give up on me. They told my mom I wouldn't live to be 29 or 25 years old. They said I was a rebel and a heathen. And I guess I was, Brother Jim. But glory to God, I met the Master, amen. And brother, he raised me from the dead. And he sent me home with my mother. Thank God I had come from death to life. And I got a life today because the Lord had mercy on me. Amen. Praise God. Dead. I was dead. But he saved me. Amen. Some of you wouldn't be alive today. Hadn't it been for the grace of God. If you hadn't have got saved, bring the book. And let me read about the one who took my place at Calvary. He took my place. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. You remember how Abraham, God spoke to Abraham, said, "Take that son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into one of the mountains that I'll show you of." And the Bible said Abraham took his boy, and they started up that mountain, and the little Isaac's got the wood laid on him, and the fire, and the knife, and he looks at his father and says, "Father, where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." And he takes his boy and puts him on that altar, and he raises that knife, and God stays his hand. But you know, when I read that story, I like to run ahead of them, Brother Chris. I like to get up there on top of the mountain before they do. And I look down one side of the mountain, I see Abraham and Isaac are coming. But I look down the other side, and I see a ram coming. Amen. And the Bible said God stayed his hand, and he showed him that ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And listen, Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it. I reckon when he saw it, I believe he got a glimpse of it. But when he turned around and saw that ram caught by the horns, had a crown of thorns around his head, I believe he saw a substitute. I believe he saw one that would take Isaac's place. Hallelujah. And thank God he took our place. The Lord God of glory, who did no sin. My brother who had no sin, but he took our sin on his body, and he went to Calvary, hallelujah, and he paid the price for you and me. Took our place. Old Barabbas was a representative man. He represents every descendant of Adam. He was locked up. The long arm of the Roman law had him. He was condemned. He was convicted. He was going to die on the cross. There was two other men going to die. I believe the crosses were made. They could probably look out the window. If they had a window, they might could have been able to look out and seen the crosses leaned up against the wall. But they went through that mockery of a trial. Pilate brought Jesus out there and said, "Whom shall I release unto you?" And they said, "Give us Barabbas." "What then shall I do with Christ?" "Crucify him." And they went down there and got them two malefactors. That old soldier opened that door, and he pointed at them two men and said, "You and you, come with me." And he pointed to Barabbas and said, "You can go free." Why? That prophet from Galilee, he's going to die on your cross. He died in our place, neighbor. You and I should have died. None of us deserve to go to heaven. But by the grace of God, the Bible said he tasted death for every man. Bring the book and let's read about the tomb where they laid him. They received orders from Pilate, said, make the tomb as sure as you can. They wanted to do everything possible to see to it that he stayed there in the tomb. But it was impossible, amen. No power in heaven or earth or under the earth could keep him in that tomb. Thank God on the third day he came out of the tomb. The Bible said he had the keys to death and to hell. And he said, I'm he that was dead and I'm alive, amen. Because he lives, we live. Bring the book and let's read about him. Bring the book and let's read about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God. This book tells about it. No use in anybody being confused about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God's our guide. Amen. We that are saved, the Bible said in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He shall guide you into all truth. I looked that word howbeit up. Howbeit. When he, the Spirit of... I looked it up in that old 1828 dictionary. And that word howbeit means whatever the style is. He's our guide. God knows the styles have changed down through the years. But it don't matter what the style is. He's our guide. We that are saved. Brother, we can go to him. Brother, we can search the scriptures. And the Lord God of glory will guide us through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And we can know how to conduct ourselves as Christians in a dark and evil world. No matter what the style is. Amen. And listen, that word means whatever the situation is. No doubt, friend, everybody in here is laboring under some kind of a situation at home or at church or somewhere. We're in situations. But thank God, whatever the situation is, he, the blessed Holy Spirit of God's our God. Amen. He'll guide you. Also means whatever the day or the hour. That word how be it. He's our guide. Preacher, there's an all-out attack against the Christian in these days. He's our guide. Preacher, there's apostasy on every side. He's our guide. Amen. There's an attack against the Bible. He's our guide. Amen. Amen. Preacher, listen, he's our guide. Listen, he's our guard. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible said, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. That seal, I like that seal. That seal prevents anything from spoiling. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm glad that he sealed me 29 years ago. Brother, whatever. Hey, when you put a seal on something, you seal the contents in. Whatever's on the outside can't get to it. What's been sealed in can't get out. Hey man, if you hadn't wanted to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved. He sealed you. You're heaven bound. It don't make any difference. Come hell or high water, he sealed you, thank God. And you're going to heaven. He might have to beat the devil out of you all the way, but you're going to heaven. Amen. Some folks got this idea that God's got two angels sitting up there, one on either side of the book of life. One's writing names down and the other's erasing them off. But that's just not the way it is. Bless God, when he saved you, he put your name in the book of life. And listen, it's written indelibly, thank God. He's our guard. He's going to see to it that you get to heaven. He's our gladness, knowing what we know. How in the world about all the things that's coming to pass and the things that are yet future, and we've got the truth. We that believe this old King James Bible, we got the truth. How could we be happy? How could we come in here and rejoice and shout? Ain't but one way. We got the joy of the Lord in our heart, brother. And it don't make any difference. There's some gladness. He gives gladness. He produces joy. He's our growth. What little I know about this Bible, he taught it to me. When I got saved and started preaching, I didn't know you could go to school. I'm serious. As a preacher, I'm honest. I didn't. I didn't know a preacher could go through correspondence. I was working, trying to support my family, pastor a little church. I didn't. And so I'd talk to other preachers. They'd recommend books to me. And I'd read books and I'd pray and I'd seek God's face. I didn't know Thompson had a chain. I didn't know Schofield had a note. On Sunday afternoon, a lot of times, we'd eat dinner, and I'd have preached everything I knew that Sunday morning. Didn't know nothing else. But I'd have to go back and preach that night. So I'd get my Bible on Sunday afternoon. I'd cross that creek over there up in the pine thicket where I went to pray. And I'd get on my knees and open that Bible. And I'd beg God to show me something to preach to my people that night. I'll never forget, one Sunday afternoon, I had my Bible open to Isaiah chapter 7. And he showed me that verse. I'd never read that verse before. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. Bear a son. My soul. God set me on fire with that verse. I got up and kicked pine needles all over everywhere and went back to church and preached on the virgin birth. Amen. It'll work, friend. Let me give you this last thought and I'm done. Bring the book and let me read about him. Bring the book and let me read about the Holy Spirit of God. Bring the book and let me read about heaven. Amen. I'm glad there's a heaven. The land that's fairer than day. The sweet forever, amen. It's hard to get folks interested in going to heaven in these days. We got so much. Amen. We got money in the bank, money in our pocket. Amen. We got food in the refrigerator, food in the freezer, food in the pantry. And if we don't like what they're served, we can go down to McDonald's and get some. You know, we just got too much. Amen. We got good cars, good homes. But I'll tell you, it hadn't always been that way. Hadn't always been that way. Hey, some of you folks sitting here, you can remember when times were a little tougher. My mama's, she was 11 years old when her daddy got killed. My grandfather was an old-time mountain preacher from Western North Carolina. He got killed coming home from work. One evening, a truck ran over him. He was walking home late in the evening. The truck didn't see him. Hit him and killed him. My mama was one of six children. She said she'll never forget that day. It was a Monday before Thanksgiving. A man stood on the front porch of their house with a Coleman lantern in his hand and told my grandmother, Ms. Turner, your husband's laying over here in the road dead. My mama said their world ended that day. Here's a little widow woman with six children. The youngest is 6 months old. There were no government helps. There was no assistance. She said they almost starved to death. She said many a time she could remember her mother gathering her children around and praying that God would give them something to eat that day. It's been a long time in America since people had to pray for our daily bread. Jesus said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. That little widow woman knew what it was to pray for daily bread. My mother got married when she was 15, had her first child when she was 16. Me and my sister was little. Mama would get us ready, and we'd walk up the gravel road to the little church house on the hill. They'd get up and start to sing, "Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear?" And as a little boy, I can remember looking up at my mama, the tears would be running down her face. And I couldn't understand why. But I tell you, friend, since then I've learned. Brother, that little woman, she was looking away to where some things would be better, amen. Things hadn't been too wonderful for that little girl there in the mountains. But thank God she is saved. And she was looking for a better place to go. And a better to... Hey, friend, folks have lost their vision of an eternal heaven where it'll be glory and bliss forever. With the Lord, I'll tell you, we get so wrapped up in this computer age, and we got everything at our fingertips, and bro, we've got it made, friend. You just might as well say amen. You know we've got it better than we've ever had it, but thank God. Hey, you know why God breaks our heart? You know why God puts us into the valleys he puts us in and causes us, brother, to be crushed and broken, friend, so we'll get along in to leave this vale of tears and this lowland of sorrow, and we'll look away to a better land, amen. Heaven. Heaven. Somebody said, I hope to see you in heaven, preacher. I said, it's entirely up to you. I'm on my way. Hallelujah. I'm glad, brother, we're going to a place where there's no sin. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of seeing what sin's done to our country, our churches.
our families. This land is full of drunkenness. 93 million cans of beer consumed every day. The number one drug problem in America is alcohol. There's dope on every side. And abortion, over 3,500 women went into abortion clinics or O'Hara Chambers today and aborted their babies. Brother, listen, I said the other day, the most dangerous place a baby can be in America is in its mother's womb. Amen. Brother, I'm sick of sin. I told my wife the other day, I said, if I get real bad off sick, I said, don't you take me to no doctor that performs abortions. Amen. If they'll kill babies, they'll kill old Baptist preachers. I said, I got a friend over in town, Dr. Cato. He's the veterinarian. I said, if I get real bad off, I said, you call Dr. Cato. He'll take care of me. Amen. Amen. Sick of sin. I'm sick of sorrow. Sick of seeing people's hearts broken. Sorrow. I tell you, sorrow is not having your car tear up in the middle of the week and not have enough money to fix it. Sorrow is sitting in that doctor's office and listening to him tell you that your little girl's got leukemia or some kind of horrible disease has stricken their body. Brother, sorrow's going down to the funeral home and picking out a little coffin about this size. Brother, and going out to the cemetery. Sorrow's going down to the prison house and watching them lead your boy down a pathway, brother, to a little cubicle with glass on one side. Oh man, him on one side and you on the other, and talking to him through a telephone. I'll tell you, brother, sorrow is having your heart torn out by the roots. Brother, standing in some cancer ward someplace. Amen. Amen. Sick of sorrow. I pastored that down there in Royston, Georgia. I started that church, pastored there for 18 years. I never did learn how to conduct funerals. Broke my heart every time. I'd cry with my people every time we went to the cemetery. I'm sick of sickness. I'm sick of separation. For 18 years, Brother Jim, I ate Sunday dinner with my daddy and my mama when I pastored that church down there in Royston. My mama cooked dinner every Sunday for all of us kids. And the last Sunday, my daddy heard me preach. I was standing at the door shaking hands with folks, and my dad come by and slipped his arm around me and said, son, your mama's got dinner ready down at the house. I said, you and Sue and the kids, come on down there when you get on here. And he said, now don't get busy and let dinner get cold. He said, come on. And daddy went on, but I got busy. Brother Lanny, I got busy, and I didn't get to go eat dinner with daddy that day. And the next day at 4 o'clock, I got the phone call that my daddy had died. And I was riding down the road the other day, Jim. It's been 13 years. April the 6th was 13 years since I seen my daddy. And I was feeling real sorry for myself. I didn't get to go eat dinner with daddy that day. But the Spirit of God got in that car with me. And he said, the next time you eat with your daddy, yeah, it'll be at the marriage supper. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And maybe daddy will get to sit on one side of the table and I'll get to sit on the other. And we'll fellowship. Amen. And did you ever get at a restaurant, you know, like it was crowded in that restaurant last night, and the little waitress, you know, she'll come and she'll set something down on the table and she'll sort of brush your shoulder, you know, she sets something down, you sort of lean over. I can imagine me and daddy be sitting there talking back and forth, and here'll come some hands and arms will brush by us and set something down in front of us. And they'll have nail prints in them. The Bible said he'd guard himself and he'd serve us. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring the book. Let's read about heaven. I'm glad I'm going to glory. Are you saved? Do you know? I appreciate the message Dr. Upman preached yesterday about knowing that you're saved. You'd be amazed at the people that's hoping so and guessing so and thinking maybe. But I'm glad I know. Amen. 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 Let's stand, please. Pastor, you come. Where's the preacher? There he is.